This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فأولئك هم الخاسرون وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم كتابه فأقم وجهك للدين القيم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا مرد له من الله يومئذ يصدعون من كفر فعليه كفره ومن عمل صالحا فلأنفسهم يمهدون. In this series that I began a number of weeks ago, Activism, Our Path Forward, and I've covered two or three topics so far. And I'm using the story of the people of the cave, of Ahl al-Kahf, as the anchor to understanding this concept of being an activist. This word has a lot of taboo. It is associated and affiliated with something that is quite negative, whether it is the concept itself or the people who practice it. And due to the lack of any other word in the English language that can explain clearly what the Prophet ﷺ was about in his life and what the concept of Qiyam is in the Quran, I have to use the word. And I have to redefine it, and we have to talk about maybe the negative aspects of it to make sure that the next generation is willing to embrace this concept of Qiyam or activism in English and do it appropriately in a way that does not give it this negative affiliation that it has today. And the reason that we have to do this, and the reason we have to talk about this, is because after October 7th, we cannot afford not to anymore. We couldn't afford before October 7th. We couldn't afford before October 7th, but no one was listening. Today, people are listening again. After what occurred in Gaza and has been occurring for the last 9 months straight, we are now seeing that we are at the full 9 months, a full 9 months. Wallahi, it is beyond my ability to describe how ridiculous that is. I can't even begin to talk about how this is so frustrating and so unacceptable. And I think everyone feels that way. And because everyone feels that way, the ears of the Muslim Ummah now are open a little bit more than they were before. And I know that because I've been in masajid all my life. And I know that people today are listening much more closely. People are looking for answers and they hope to find solutions and to find a way out. And I'm telling you, the only way out is for us to embody, to personify what the Prophet ﷺ taught us, what the Quran is talking about. The story of Ahlul Kahf has to be revived again. And it's not something far away from us because it's something we recite, it's a story we recite every single week. And today I talked about youth and I talked about belonging last week, and I want to talk about two or three other points today. If you read their story, you find right at the beginning of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ, when the youngsters, they retreated back to the cave. And the symbolism in the cave is something I'll talk about in another khutbah. But what I want to focus on is what they said. فَقَالُوا, and then they said two things. قَالُوا رَبَّنَا, they made dua. Oh, our Lord. آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. They asked for two different things. And then the surah, a little bit later, confirms those two things. فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ, right? يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. So what they asked for, they were granted. The two things that they asked for, they were granted. To confirm that they asked for the right things and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted it to them. So what are the two things that we have to focus on here? Number one, آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً, grant us from within you, from yourself, a degree or an amount of compassion or mercy. What is the biggest pitfall of someone who acquires in their life moral clarity? The biggest pitfall is that they start holding everyone around them who did not acquire that same thing accountable. They start seeing them in a negative way. Right now, many people around the globe, especially Muslims, have come to conclusions, have come to realizations that they cannot afford to live the way they were living prior to October 7th, that Islam is much more than just a number of do's and don'ts and a few rituals and a few cultural days that we observe, that Islam is much more profound than that. The Prophet ﷺ lived for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and died for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, and there's no other process of living that's acceptable aside from that. And when you come to that realization and you remove all the clutter surrounding it, because the shaitan will, it just adds all this clutter, all these distractions. When you get rid of it all and you take off the lens that the world around you has put on your eyes to make you biased, and you start seeing reality for what it is, you see the clarity, the simplicity of it, the simplicity of what we are asked to do, why we are here as human beings. Once you see that, it becomes difficult for you to understand why the people around you don't see it as well. It becomes hard for you to understand, why is it that Fulan, who's similar to me, is also a Muslim, why don't they see what we see? And you start judging them and you start becoming very harsh with them. And that is the big number one pitfall of all those who take on themselves a concept of activism for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or for any cause, or for any cause for that matter. Because we lack that rahmah. And that's what that's the first thing they ask for. آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Give us that compassion that we require. Because once you have clarity, wallahi, once you have that clarity of why you're here for this period of time that you're alive, why you're here and what it is you're supposed to be doing, you start wondering, what is everyone else doing? Why is everyone else not doing exactly the same? Funny enough, a year before, you were not like that. A year before, you were just as lost as the rest of them. Or 2 years, or 10 years, or 15 years. And when you were lost, you did not want people to judge you. You did not want people to put you under that microscope and to speak to you as if you were... You didn't want that. So now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened your eyes and granted you that guidance, don't do that to others. Make sure that you continue to have the compassion required to give people the time that they need to figure things out for themselves while they are on their journeys. It's not my job to judge you if you are not at the same spot, at the same point, in the same place that I am and understanding things. Inshallah, you're in a better place than I'll ever be. But I should not hold you account. I can't judge you if you haven't arrived at that yet. And this is the number one pitfall of all activists, is that they become hateful towards those who don't agree with them, who don't dedicate the same amount of time and energy and effort and wealth towards the cause that they should be devoting and dedicating their time towards. And they were mature enough to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that rahmah, and they were granted it by Allah subhanahu. يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ. This is a big problem. I see it all the time. Especially someone who and he recently turns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, performs tawbah, comes back. They become harsh with their parents and with their siblings and with their spouses and with their children. They start holding people to the standard that they have now recently figured out is the correct one. You need to hold yourself to that standard, but you have to be merciful towards those who have not yet arrived at that same spot. They're not at that point yet. They need their time. Everyone's on a journey in life. It's like we're all on a train. The train is very noisy. And the train stops at different times for all of us. It's at those times when it stops that you're able to revamp, to take a step back and revise yourself and figure things out. Maybe the person that you're looking at and wondering why they're not living life appropriately, maybe their stop has not come yet. Maybe they're still in the midst of a very noisy ride and they haven't been given the chance to take a moment. Make sure this is clear to you as I talk about activism. That your understanding of activism may be different than someone else's understanding of activism. That your comprehension of it, your moral, your standard of it, where you think people should be investing and dedicating their time and wealth and energy may be different than someone else. You and I are not in a position to judge people for where they are and what they think is appropriate. If you learn this from me today, you'll live much better. You will live healthier, I promise you. Because activists who don't understand that carry with them a lot of disgruntlement and a lot of hate, sometimes even hatred. They're upset because people aren't doing what they're doing. And that upset and that hate will hold them down. It will make it difficult for them to reach out to people, to be kind to people, to actually help people along their way to realize what they have not realized yet. And it makes their activism negative, and it makes it harsh, and it makes it very, and it's much less productive. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is the number one activist of all time. No one worked harder than him. No one dedicated more time. No one devoted more of his life to what he believed to be the right thing. He didn't judge people for where they were, alayhi salatu wasalam. He didn't. He saw the good in them. And then what good he saw, he amplified. He allowed them to amplify. He focused on it for them. And this is an important piece when we talk about this concept, and I hope it's clear to you. The second thing they asked for, وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. This is the billion-dollar question. This is the everlasting problem. What's next? What do we do next? How do we move forward with the cause that we now live for? If you accept Islam as a cause, and you see your job as qiyam, and you're going to do that for the nation of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, for the sake of Allah, you're going to live that way. Well, what's the next step? What do we do next? What's the sequence of the steps that we need to take in order for us to fulfill the destiny, to fulfill the fate, to fill the gap, to fix the problem, to find solutions? No one knows. I'm telling you right now, nobody knows. There is not one person sitting here who knows exactly what we should do next. There are opinions, as many opinions as there are Muslims on the planet on this issue specifically. What should we invest in? What should we be focusing on? Everyone has an opinion. Everyone thinks their opinion is correct. A part of activism is accepting the fact that we don't know for sure, that we have to perform ijtihad as a group, that we have to discuss and try our best, and accept the fact that we will make mistakes and fail. And you have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with the fact that you're going to move with the group, and the group sometimes won't move in the direction that you believe to be correct. And you may be the one person amongst us who's correct. God knows. Maybe you're the one person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the epiphany to, and you know what you're doing. You still have to be willing to move with your group forward, even if they don't make it right, even if they make mistakes, and support them, and then come back to the table and discuss again with them. Activists who don't have that flexibility, who don't have that open-mindedness, they fail, and they actually make everyone around them fail too. Because we don't know exactly. That's why, هَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. We need rashad. We need clarity. We need clarity on what the next step is going to look like. What should we be focusing on? People who walk around acting like they know exactly what it is. People who claim that they know what's going to fix the problem. That's a level, in my opinion, a level of arrogance that I don't think is healthy. We think we know. We would like to assume that it seems to me that this is the right next step. It seems to me that this is what we should be doing now. But to act like you know for sure is impossible, because the only way you could know for sure is if you are receiving wahi, if you are receiving revelation from the Almighty. Aside from that, it's impossible. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would make choices and they wouldn't always work out. Read his seerah alayhi salatu wasalam. Time and time again, he would make choices. He would make a decision, go in a direction. It wouldn't always work. He didn't turn around and point fingers of blame. On the day of Uhud, he didn't want to leave. He went by the majority opinion of leaving Medina to fight Quraysh outside of Medina. He wanted to stay in. They go out, they lose. He doesn't come back and point fingers at the people that consulted with him to leave. He doesn't come back and say, no more opinions, and khalas, I say it and we do what I say. No. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ was the command that he received, alayhi salatu wasalam, right after. This is a part of the process. A part of the process is that we discuss and we go in a direction and sometimes it's wrong. The maturity required for these two requests from these younger people is quite impressive. آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. We need clarity. Where do we go next? We don't know. Which is why they're called Ashab al-Kahf alone. No, they're called Ashab al-Kahfi wal-Raqim. Raqim was the name of the city, but Raqim means a piece of documentation where they sat down and they wrote their vision and their mission and their principles and their values. And that became the guiding document of the people who later on continued their revolution once they disappeared. As they sat down, they wrote, what is it that we want to achieve? Where are we going? As a community, that's what's missing. That document, that Raqim, is what's missing for us. We don't know what we want. Forget about what next steps are. That's a whole, I can't even talk about that unless we have defined as a community. What is it that we want? What are we trying to achieve? What are the goals here? Do we have goals? Do we know what the next steps, do we know what we're trying to, what we in 10 years can say we achieved our objectives? What are the objectives? What are they? We don't even know what they are. We haven't talked about it yet. So it's impossible to define a next step if you don't know where you're going. How do you say that you're driving in the right direction if you don't have a goal, if there's no objective, if there's no destination? You can't ask your maps on your phone to take you somewhere, to tell you to take right or left if there's no destination. You have to give it a destination. Then it tells you, take right here, take left there. And you'll disagree sometimes with the maps, regret it later. But you'll disagree and do whatever you want. But at least there's a destination. What is the destination for us here as Muslims? What are we trying to do? What can we call a win? At what point can I say, alhamdulillah, we achieved this? What is it? Just more spaces? Is that the goal? Is the goal more masajid? Is that the goal? That is not a good goal, if that's the goal. More spaces, more facilities, not a good goal. Pass. Give us another one. We have to figure out what our goals are. An activist has to have these two things. Someone understands Islam the way the Prophet ﷺ understood it, and the way the Quran explains it in Surah Al-Kahf has to have two things. You have to have the compassion in your heart to accept that people may not be where you are yet, that they're still on a journey. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you the clarity to be in a place where you know why you're here and what you're doing, and you know exactly, you don't, that clutter and that and the lens you have is very, it's crystal clear, then don't judge others who have not arrived at that yet, because they need time. If anything, help them along or be patient with them. The second one is you have to know where you're going. What are the goals? What are the objectives? And then you have to sit there and try to figure out what the right next step is going to be. And that requires collaboration and it requires people working together. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني وأخواتي، فإن موضوع القيام الذي نتحدث عنه في سلسلة الخطب هذه التي ابتدأتها منذ عدة أسابيع أمر مهم جدا، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عاش هذه الحقائق، هذه حياته عليه الصلاة والسلام، هذه هي سيرته عليه الصلاة والسلام. ليست سيرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحداث توالت بعضها بعد بعض ومواقف، لا، سيرة رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام هو جهد وجهاد بذله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خلال حياته، لم يتوقف حتى لقي ربه. وفي هذا يقول ابن القيم في زاد المعاد، وهي كلمة لطيفة، قال: يا ضعيف العزم، أين أنت والطريق؟ طريق تعب فيه آدم وناح لأجله نوح ورمي في النار الخليل واضطجع للذبح إسماعيل وقاس الضر أيوب وذبح ونشر بالمنشار زكريا وذبح السيد الحصور يحيى وخالط الوحوش عيسى وعالج أنواع الفقر والأذى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. تحزها أنت باللهو واللعب أبدا حاشا وكلا ما كان لأحد أن يأخذ نصيبه من لا إله إلا الله في الدنيا ثم يأخذ نصيبه منها يوم القيامة إلا وقد بذل وسعه وأفنى نفسه خدمة لربه فيما يملك وفيما يستطيع. ولا نعرف من الدين إلا ذلك ولا نفقه من ديننا إلا هذا الأمر. وبعد أحداث 7 أكتوبر تغيرت مفاهيم المسلمين في مشارق الأرض وفي مغاربها تغيراً ملحوظاً رآه أئمة المساجد والقائمون على المساجد في كل مكان، أن الناس أتوا إليهم يبحثون عن الأجوبة، يريدون حلولاً لهذه المشكلة. قد رأوا أن الظلم الذي تفشى في الأرض أصابهم وأصاب أحبابهم ومقدساتهم، رغم أن هذا الظلم موجود من مئات السنين، لكن الحمد لله أن تصل متأخراً خير من أن لا تصل مطلقاً. فعلينا الآن أن نحوز أمرين. الأمر الأول الرحمة التي ذكرها الله على لسان أهل الكهف، آتنا من لدنك رحمة، لا ينبغي لك أن تحكم على أولئك الذين لم يصلوا إلى المرحلة التي أوصلك الله بمنه وكرمه إليها، لا ينبغي لك أن تنظر نظرة ازدراء واحتقار إلى أولئك الذين يلهون ويلعبون، لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد نور بصيرتك وأراك من حقائق الدنيا ما عرفت من خلالها ما ستقوم به في عمرك، لأنك كنت من قبل كذلك الشخص الذي الآن هو في لهوه ولعبه. فإن لم تنفعه وإن لم تدعه فارحمه، فإن الأذى منك إليه فيه جرأة على المولى سبحانه وتعالى، نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى السلامة. أما الأمر الثاني فهو الرشد، هو أن يطلعنا الله سبحانه وتعالى على الطريق الذي من خلاله نخدمه فيها الخدمة التي يحبها جل جلاله. فالرشد هو الطريق الذي من خلاله نحقق المراد، وأولاً علينا أن نتفق ما هو المراد، ما الذي نريده كمسلمين نعيش في الغرب وكمسلمين نعيش في أنحاء الوطن العربي والإسلامي وخارجها، ما هي أهدافنا؟ فإذا عرفنا أهدافنا استطعنا أن نجلس ونتحدث في الكيفيات، نتحدث في الحيثيات، نتحدث في الخطوات القادمة. يا أخواني قضية ما أعرف كيف أتحدث مع إخواني في بلد عن خطوة قادمة ونحن لا ندري إلى أين نحن متجهون. إذا كنت لا تدري إلى أين إذا كنت لا تدري ما هي القبلة وما هي الوجهة، فلا يفرق أن تأخذ يمينا أو يسارا، شمالا، أن تذهب أماما أو أن تعود إلى الوراء القهقراء، ما تفرق لأنك ما تدري إلى أين تذهب أصلا. فعلينا أن نعرف ما هي وجهتنا أولا. Brothers and sisters, I want to share with you a story, or maybe two stories, of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So you understand that the examples I gave you, the two things we need in order for activism. I am maybe ahead of you. You're saying, well, I haven't really agreed to be an activist yet. Well, that's your problem. I'm already on the ship and I'm moving forward. I'm talking about you need to be an activist, whether you understand, you have to be it. And if you don't like the word, well, tough luck. We're gonna change the definition, make sure it's clear to you, and then we're all gonna be that. Because there's no other way for this reality to change. There's no other way for reality to change unless a population of people take upon themselves the responsibility of making that change. And that is what activism is prioritizing a certain degree of change, of reform. All the prophets did it, all the sahaba did it, and all the people of worth in history have done it as well. And you can do it too. And it's not very hard. You just have to learn a few points. You have to understand that youth is a part of it. Start young. You have to belong to your group. You have to feel like you're a part of it. We talked about it last week. And then you have to have the right amount of compassion towards those who have not agreed with you yet. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the story that is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, on his way back from the treacherous and horrible visit to al-Ta'if that he had alayhi salatu wasalam, on his way back, after being absolutely humiliated by these people, after being denied access into Mecca by Quraysh, we had nowhere to go. He had teenage daughters at home, he couldn't enter his house, he couldn't, Ta'if kicked him out, he was left in a valley called Qarn al-Thalib where he had nowhere to go. And he was asked by Aisha, what was the worst day of your life after Uhud? He said, Uhud wasn't the worst day of my life. It was this day here. And the story moves forward where Jibreel alayhi salam comes to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and says, Ya Rasulallah, inna rabbaka qad arsalani wa ma'i malak al-jibali li ta'murahu bima shi'at. Indeed, your Lord has sent me and sent with me the angel of the mountains so that you may command him to do whatever you wish. فَأَتَاهُ مَلَكُ الْجِبَالِ. So the angel of the mountain calls out to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, said, Ya Rasulallah, مُرْنِي أُطْبِقْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَخْشَبَيْنِ. Give me the command and I will have these mountains crumble on the heads of the people of Al-Ta'if and Quraysh for what they've done to you. فَقَالَ فَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ قَدْ سَمِعَ قَوْلَكَ لِقَوْمِكَ وَقَوْلَ قَوْمِكَ لَكَ وَمَا رَدُّوا عَلَيْكَ بِهِ. Because your Lord has heard what you have been saying to your people and how your people have been responding to you. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم لا عسى الله أن يخرج من أصلامهم من يقول لا إله إلا الله. He said, no, maybe the day will come where from their descendants someone will come and say لا إله إلا الله, even if they are not going to do it. And I always answer and continue the story and say, and here we are. And as he predicted عليه الصلاة والسلام, here we are. He refused to punish those people at that moment because he knew that someday maybe they're still lost, they haven't figured it out yet, but someday maybe from their descendants people will see the clarity and they will say la ilaha illallah, and it happened, and here we are saying la ilaha illallah. So we have to carry in our hearts what he carried in his heart alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the malak of the angel of the mountain would turn to him and say, sadaqa man sammaka ar-ra'uf ar-rahim. Indeed, honest and truthful is the one, Allah, who called you the most kind and the most merciful amongst people. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in the hadith narrated by Abu Dawood in his Musnad, in his Sunan, with a reasonable chain of narration, he would call upon the sahaba to form sadaqa. This story is told to us by Umar. I'll end with it, inshallah ta'ala. Umar al-Khattab tells us that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam called upon people for sadaqah. So he قَالْ فَوَافَقَ ذَٰلِكَ عِنْدِي مَالَ. The day he asked for sadaqah, I had a good amount of money. So I was happy because now I can, you know, push. This is activism, by the way. This story is not a story of, people hear this story and say, this is a story of zuhud, this is a story of generosity. No, no, no. This is a story of activism, of believing in something to the point where you're willing to put everything you got for it. That is different. Generosity is, karam is different. Karam is when someone visits you and you make sure that you take care of them, you're hospitable, you give them from your wealth. Activism is when there's a cause that is so meaningful to you that you're willing to give up all that you own. So Umar al-Khattab, he brought 50% of all his assets, 50% of his wealth. He brought it to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would ask people, "Ma tarakta li ahlik?" He had to ask people, "What are you leaving to your family?" Because the percentage of people that would bring everything they had was high, or that brought too much. Because he didn't want half of your assets. He just wanted maybe 10%, something that will help. He didn't want that much. But he had built a community of activists alayhi salatu wasalam. He had inspired in them, which is where we fail, obviously, which is where people like me fail. He inspired in them to live and to devote themselves and dedicate themselves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we had to push people back. Don't bring everything. No, no. So what do you leave to your family, Ya Umar? قَالَ تَرَكْتُ لَهُمْ مِثْلَهُ. I left the same amount that I brought you. Al-Faradiya alayhi salatu wasalam. He didn't say, because he knew the level of iman and devotion that Umar ibn Khattab had. يَقُولُ عُمَرُ فَقُلْتُ فِي نَفْسِي سَبَقْتُ أَبَا بَكْرَ. I told to myself today, I got one on Abu Bakr. Because Abu Bakr came with less money. Like, he's looking at the amount, and the amount that Abu Bakr is carrying is less. So it's mine, I did it. He just wants to get one on him, because he can never seem to get one on him. قال فأتى أبو بكر فوضع ماله فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, said, يا أبو بكر, ما تركت لأهلك? What did you leave to your family? قال تركت لهم الله ورسوله. I left for them the love of Allah and the love of his Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. فقال يا أبو بكر هل لا تركت لهم? Why don't you leave something more? قال يكفيهم الله ورسوله. حسبهم الله ورسوله. There is enough for them, the love of Allah and the love of their Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Nothing else is needed. يقول عمر فعلمت أني ما أسبق أبا بكر أبدا. And I knew in my heart at that moment, I will never beat him. I can never get ahead of this man. Because that's activism. I'm not asking for you to do that. Honestly, I have no interest of you going and pulling. You won't, but you won't, you know, pull out your checking account or saving it. No, I'm just asking for time. I'm asking for energy. I'm asking for care. I'm asking for worry. I'm asking for the devotion and dedication of your skill set and of your expertise. That's what we're asking for. Wealth will be needed at certain points throughout the story. And only if you've dedicated your life will you be willing to put your wealth there. And that's what this means. That is what this story of activism means. And that's how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam lived, and that's how the people who believed in him lived. We can't act like we follow them if we don't live like that. We can't act like we are atba' Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can't act like we're followers of Muhammad and we don't live that way. And we are not dedicating our lives and devoting our lives towards a cause that is better. Well, if you do, you'll be happier. Here's the beauty of it. Doing that, you live better. You live healthier. You're much more happy in your life. You're much more productive. It doesn't take away your ability to have fun and to be happy and to have relationships. You live better when you do it that way. This is the only way you can live, which is why the Quran talks about it so much, which is why the Prophet ﷺ lived that way, which is why he preached that as well, ﷺ, which is why the Sahaba did the same. Imagine if the Sahaba stopped doing that after he passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine if the Islamic empire was or stayed as big as it was once he passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam. You know that almost 95% of the people in this room would just disappear. This place would disappear. The number of Muslims in the world would have been less than 10% of the number it is today. It's because when he passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam, he left an army of devoted and dedicated people who understood what they were there for, and they continued to push Islam and spread it and teach it until the world accepted it. So that you and I, from every background that we come from, in every country, in every racial background and cultural background, were able to accept Islam and be Muslims. Or else it wouldn't have existed. So you can't think that the next generation of Muslims is going to be able to sit back and just, no. We have to be as they were. What saved them is what will save us. What saved them is what will save us. I hope that was a benefit to you. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ السَّادَةِ الْحُنَفَاءِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ وَعُثْمَانَ وَعَلِيٍّ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنْ أَزْوَاجِهِ أُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَعَنْ آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين أخرج الصهاينة منه أذلة صاغرين اللهم ارفع البلاء والمقطع عن إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان وخص منهم أهل غزة والسودان برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ألهمنا حسن نصرة إخواننا على الوجه الذي يرضيك عنا في الدنيا وفي الآخرة وردنا أجمعين إليك ردا جميلا وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحا طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله استووا اعتدلوا استقيموا لا تختلفوا حاذوا بين المناكب سدوا الخلل لا تدعوا فرجا بينكم سووا الصف تسويتوا الصف من إقام الصلاة أتموا الأول فالأول لينوا بأيدي إخوانكم shoulder to shoulder ankle to ankle with your toes on the front part the dark gray line on the green line up front closing the gap straighten your lines and silence your phones take a moment to make sure your lines are straight and that there are no gaps Fill in the line ahead of you before you fill the one behind. Stow. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا إذ أوى الفتية إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا فضربنا على آذانهم في الكهف سنين عددا ثم بعثناهم لنعلم أي الحزبين أحصى لما لبثوا أمدا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين فأقم وجهك للدين القيم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا مرد له من الله يومئذ يصدعون من كفر فعليه كفره ومن عمل صالحا فلأنفسهم يمهدون ليجزي الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات من فضله إنه لا يحب الكافرين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر
الله جزاك الله خيرا شيخ عدنان So tonight, inshallah, we're having the seerah 1 hour before Maghrib prayer. So that's going to be at 8 p.m. That's open to families, inshallah. Bring your families. Enjoy the seerah with Sheikh Adnan. Following the seerah, there will be the Arabi tafsir that's been happening between Maghrib and Isha. There's no halaqas happening this weekend. We're going to push the...